Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to those of you here and to those of you watching online. Tonight, we're going to have a Pastor Scott is going to lead us through our service tonight, and I'm really excited to hear what he has to say. Pastor Robert is traveling with Miss Shanda. I think they're out in Michigan now. I'm not really sure, but I think that's where they were going, so just a short little ride in the car. So better him than me. At this point of our service, before I get into the announcements, I'm going to welcome the ushers up to collect offering. This is a time that those of us who call Westbridge our home, this is where we support the mission and vision of Westbridge. So if you are here for the first time, you're just visiting, please let the basket pass on by. You don't feel obligated to give. Like I said, this is a time that we worship God by giving towards Him. So adult small group is Wednesday, October 5th. So we were having men's and women's. We've kind of combined them, opened it up to all adults that would like to attend. That is Wednesday, October 5th from 6:30 to 8. So the men meet here in the church at 6:30, and then the women meet over in the ministry center at 6:30 as well. So it's a time where we can kind of catch up with one another, see how the week's been going. And then at 7 o'clock, the women come on over here, and we go through the study. So we had just done that this past Wednesday, and it was really engaging. We're doing a book. So it's light reading, probably about 11 pages roughly, and then a couple questions at the end of it. But Pastor Robert's done a great job putting together an outline that we kind of use to follow along and go through that aspect and then have a discussion on those points. So it was really good this past Wednesday. We are going to have the dance team is doing, it's called Alive and Breathing. And there is going to be a meeting tonight for anyone who is interested, has an idea, a thought, would like to participate, would like to dance, over at the Ministry Center tonight after the service. You can head over on over there. Sarah will be over there. She's sitting here in the front, for those that don't know her. She'll be over there to talk about that and have a discussion about how that's going to go, talk about practices, things like that. On Tuesday, October 4th, at 6:30, we will meet here for prayer and purpose. So that's the time where we come together, and just as a whole church body, we will pray about different things, pray for the church and how that's being led and where God wants us to go and do things. You can see in the back of your seats, there's some pockets on these chairs, and there are some prayer cards in there. If you have a prayer request, you can fill that prayer card out. You can put your info on it or leave it off. But then at the end of the night, over on the side here by the window, there is a golden bowl. You can drop your card into that bowl. And we have a prayer team. There will be someone over there in that area tonight that would pray for you if you would like to have that done as well. If you have something that you need prayed for, or if you want to just drop that card off, you can drop it over there, and our prayer team will pray for you. If you leave your info on there, it just gives the prayer team an opportunity to follow up with you and see if your prayers have been answered, if we can continue praying for you in that. On October 8th, which is a Saturday, from 2 to 6, it is the Alpha Fall Festival. So that's going to be probably about half mile maybe from here. It's just a short drive down the road at the Larry Marino Field. So from 2 to 6, we will have a booth set up there. So we would invite you to come out, enjoy some time with each other, with us while we are there, and then try to do some outreach with the community while they're having the Fall Fest. Now, you definitely want to mark your calendars for October 22nd. So October 22nd is going to be a celebration of faithfulness, and that will mark our 20th anniversary service. So make sure you put that on your calendars, get here early. I'm sure it's going to be pretty packed in here tonight for 20 years, and you can come and enjoy all of the thing. I'm part of the planning. I know what's going on with some of the planning aspects, and there's some really great ideas that have come forth so far, and I think everyone will be pleasantly surprised to see some of the stuff that's being done. So make sure you have your calendars marked for that. And at this time, I will invite Sarah and Mr. Paul up to lead us through worship.
20 years of Westbridge. That's crazy, right? So if you guys don't know, I'm a pastor at a church in Randolph, New Jersey. It's called Grace Church, and I've been there for a number of years, but for many years, since 2002 to 2015, Westbridge was my church home. And so I remember, Derek, when you first walked in the door. So it's great to be back, and it's great to be able to be invited here tonight. Well, you guys are in a series called Who Am I? And tonight, we're going to be talking about the role of men. Now, the word man, it conjures up all kinds of images. There's all kinds of stereotypes for what it takes to be a man. Some people say, in order to be a man, you have to regularly follow sports. Or you have to have the appearance of a lumberjack. Or you have to have a big tool room. Hollywood, they've habitually portrayed men as being doofuses. You look at guys like Homer Simpson or Michael Scott or Peter Griffin, or if you're old enough, Al Bundy. But the truth is this: most men are not bumbling morons. And they're not required to have an interest in things that society says that they should be interested in. In fact, what makes a man, specifically, what makes a godly man, are not his interests, but his character. And so tonight, we're going to focus on what the Bible says about men and the critical role that men have in their families. And while this message is for husbands and it's for fathers, don't check out if you're not a husband or a father. It's also for somebody if somebody aspires to one day become a godly man. It's for women, maybe for wives. You encourage your husbands in this. Maybe you know somebody who could benefit. Maybe you know a father who needs to hear these points in what Scripture has to say about being a godly man, and you can pass this message on to them. So I encourage you, stay engaged. And when we talk about the critical role that men have in their families, the example set by Nehemiah is a great place to start. If you're not familiar with Nehemiah, let me introduce you. Let me tell you who Nehemiah was. Nehemiah was an Israelite official, and he served in Persia. He had a high position in the king's court. And he left that. He left that life of luxury, and he returned to his homeland to lead the people to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And so he went there. They're rebuilding the wall. And while Nehemiah and the Jewish men were working on the wall, they faced some oppositions. Enemies would come in, and they would try to stop them from rebuilding this wall. And so here's what Nehemiah said to the men of Israel. This is found in Nehemiah chapter 4. He said, "After looking things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes.' When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried material did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore a sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us.'" So Nehemiah told the men of his day, he said, fight for your families. Fight for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and for your homes. Nehemiah charged the men of that day to fight for their families, and we are charged today to fight for our families, guys. We're charged to fight. Whether you're a father, whether you're a grandfather, you guys play critical roles in the lives of your family. And so our big idea for today is this. The big idea is kind of like the main idea that this message is focused around. Our big idea is this. Men, actively fight for your families. We need you to fight for your families. Because just like the men in Israel, you have enemies who are coming after your family. You have enemies who are looking to destroy your family. And Satan is sitting at the head of those enemies. And he's been attacking families ever since the very first family, ever since Adam and Eve. He's been attacking them. He's been lying to them. He lied to Adam and Eve. He led them to sin and caused all the devastation that came with that. And he's looking to bring that same devastation into your families. Satan hates families. And he's trying to bring that. So we're told to actively fight. Fighting is not passive. You don't just stand back and fight. Fighting is active. So be aware of this. If you take an apathetic approach to protecting your family, you're not going to end up with the family that you want. More importantly, you're not going to end up with the family that God intends for you to have. And that's why we're called to actively fight for our families. I think you'll agree with me that the world is in a downward spiral morally. And we need men more than ever who are going to fight. And in order to fight effectively, there are four action points that we're gonna look at tonight. Four action steps that are our responsibility. We're going to look at protecting. We're going to look at providing. We're going to look at shepherding. And then finally, we're going to look at playing. So let's take a look at this first one. Let's take a look at this first action step. Protect. Nehemiah told the men of Israel that it was their duty to protect their families. And did you catch how he told them to do that? He said while they were on guard, while people were attacking the wall, they were to protect their families, but they were also to build the wall at the same time. Verse 17 and 18 says this, those who carried material did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. Imagine that, carrying a load of shingles and on your shoulder over here, and you're carrying a weapon over here just in case somebody attacks you. Tells us that the builders, they wore a sword at their side while they worked. The Apostle Paul, he has a lot to say about men. In 1 Corinthians 16, he wrote this to men. He said, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. So the godly husband, the godly father, is responsible for the physical security of his family, even at his own cost. Paul wrote this. In Ephesians, he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So Christ willingly laid down his life for the church. And if the situation arises, the godly man, as much as we may not want to, is called to lay down his life for his family. Protecting our families means that we may need to face situations where our fear is greater than our courage, but we're called to act anyway. It really comes down to this, men. You are to put yourself between the threat and your family. God has designed most men with greater physical strength than women. And he's also built inside of men a need, a desire to protect. If there's a sound downstairs in the middle of the night, you don't say to your wife or to your children, hey, you go down and check it out this time. Last time I went down and did it. It's important to realize that protecting your family involves physically protecting. But it goes beyond that. It's not just protecting them physically. There's more to it. So when you hear that noise downstairs in the middle of the night, you go down and check that out, yes. But there's another level as well. You must be proactive in protecting your family from predators, people who want to come in and invade your family's mind. When I was growing up, there was an ad on television that said, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? If you guys remember that one. More accurately now, it'd be more appropriate to say, it's 10 p.m., do you know what your children are watching? Do your children, or do your grandchildren, including teenagers, do they have unrestricted access to the internet or to the television? If so, that is a very, very dangerous situation. You see, because there's things on there that their hearts and their minds are not equipped to handle. There's things on there, there's images on there and topics on there that are designed to shape their mind in such a way that they become addicted to it. And they could spend years trying to unsee these images that are now stuck in their mind. It's a very dangerous situation to have unguarded internet and television, especially in the lives of younger people. Think about this. You wouldn't allow a stranger to walk into your house and just to start teaching your kids whatever they wanted to. But that's what's happening through the media. I'm not saying media is bad. I'm not saying that. There's good stuff on there too, but it needs to be monitored. So it's your job, men, to protect your family and to kick those strangers out of your house when they need to be kicked out. Protecting your family also includes the mental health and well-being. Now this, it may involve having difficult conversations with people. It may involve humbly receiving criticism of yourself. Maybe there's some things going on in your life that you need to address in order to connect with your family on a better level. Maybe you need to go for individual counseling, or maybe you need to take someone else for counseling. Protecting is more than just keeping their bodies safe. It's protecting their minds, and it's protecting their hearts. And listen, if somebody says that you need counseling, or if they recommend counseling, go for it. There's nothing wrong with getting a different set of eyes on your situation. So I encourage you, if that's the case, go for it. In fact, Proverbs 19:20 says this, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future." Proverbs 1:5, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." So the godly man will first actively protect his family. Secondly, the godly man will provide. 1 Timothy 5:8, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Now the word provide here, so when Paul wrote this, this was written in Greek, and so the word provide here is the Greek word pronoio, and it means this, to think beforehand, to provide by seeing needs in advance. The broad principle here that is that the husband is called to be the provider, and in many cases, this means, husbands, you are going to be the reliable breadwinner in the family. But note that I didn't say here that the reliable breadwinner means that they're the highest paid person in the family. It's important to know the context of this verse. Income is not linked to head of the household. It isn't attached to a certain level of income. Provide here means to be observant. It means to take responsibility, to make sure the needs of your family are met both now and they're met into the future. Make sure your family has food on the table, clothes on their back, a roof over their head. It's maintaining the house. And what that provision looks like, it's going to look different for all different families. The husband and the wife, some households, they agree that the husband should work and the wife stays home and she takes care of the house. Other households, the husband and wife agree that they're both going to work and then they're also both going to share the responsibility of the households. In some families, they come to the agreement that the wife works because the wife is more marketable and she can earn a better income while the husband stays home and he takes care of the household, whether that's getting the kids fed and dressed, maybe not in that order, but keeping the house going, maintaining the house, keeping it in working order. Let me throw a side note in here. I don't know anyone here at Westbridge who does this, but I have known men in the past who do this. They send their wife off to work, and they stay home, and they're perfectly able to get a job. They're perfectly capable of it, and they stay home and they work on their hobbies. That is not okay. So that's not okay. That's not what this is talking about. Both members of the family must be contributing in a major way to the household. The Bible also includes in this umbrella of providing for your family the way you provide for mental and emotional stability in your family. The Apostle Paul writes this in 1 Timothy 3. "The godly man must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of respect." So, guys, how are you managing your household? Do you have clear expectations? And when you give those clear expectations, are they delivered in love or are they delivered with an iron fist? What about your spending habits? Are you hindering or helping to provide for your family with your spending habits? Are you going out and buying that new pickup truck that's kind of out of your price range and it's going to keep you strapped to that for years to come? So be aware of your spending habits. So far, the godly man protects his family. The godly man provides for his family. Now we're going to see the godly man shepherds his family. And as we've discussed, guys, you're to lay down your life for your situation. You're going to lay down your life for your wife if the situation calls it. And Scripture tells us that we are to be spiritual leaders of our home, 1 Corinthians 11. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instructions of the Lord. So the spiritual health of the family falls on the shoulders of men. You're responsible for the spiritual growth of your family. And the best way to do that, the absolute best way, is through modeling. You model what a relationship with Jesus looks like, whether that's in the quietness of your home or in the absolute chaos and noisiness of your home. Model what that looks like. And start with your wife. Shepherd your wife's heart. Know what's going on in her life. Know what her concerns are, what her cares are. Know what her victories are. Know what drains her energy. Know what re-energizes her. Lead her to God's word. Encourage her. Pray with her. Listen, that could be really weird if you haven't done it for a while, praying with your spouse. But the more you do it, the easier and easier it gets and the more natural it gets. See, she is your partner in the most important ministry you have. That's your family. Now, if your family includes raising children, be intentional about raising your children, or be intentional about being involved in the lives of your grandchildren, right? Let them see you modeling this. Let them see you modeling what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If you're not intentional about raising children, the forces of evil will be happy to raise them for you. So be intentional about raising children. Be involved. Grandparents, ask your grandchildren how they're doing, right? Let them know that you care. How are they doing in their spiritual walk? What do they struggle with? Have hard conversations with them if necessary, and lovingly teach them things. Let them come to you and ask you questions. And you may not know the answer. You say, that's fine. We're going to find out together what that answer is. Have family time that involves reading the Bible together and praying together. Prioritize church attendance. It's very normal. On Saturday nights, and we're seeing also on Sunday mornings, now sports games are going on. It wasn't always this way, but what happens is families will say, okay, we're now gonna put our kids in sports, and it's gonna take them out of church. And it's easy to rationalize, okay, that's only for a season, but what that's doing is it's unintentionally training your children that church attendance is not important. And it's gonna have an impact on their future. Also take heart in this. If you've raised children in the church, if they've heard the word of God, and they've rebelled, and they've walked away from the church, and they walked away from God. Take this to heart, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's not a promise. That's a principle in Scripture. But what that's saying is the word of God is in there, right? They were raised in there. It's in there somewhere. And God knows how to get people's attention. He knows how to wake up a person and show them the importance of being in a relationship with him. And so in their life, if something happens, if a situation happens that is devastating to them, they're going to remember these things that are rooted in there. They're going to remember the teachings that they were given many years ago. So model for your family what a relationship looks like. The flock is going to follow the shepherd. I have two boys, 7 and 9 years old. And when they were younger, I remember we were walking down the beach, and I was leaving, I have a size 13 footprint, and we're walking down the beach, and they're walking in my footprints. I turned around, I looked, and their little footprints are inside of mine. And it occurred to me that okay, they're following me physically, but they're also following me spiritually, and the importance of that, and watching my own walk. Your families are watching you. Parents, grandparents, your families are watching you. If you want your children to treat others well, you must treat others well. If you want your children to be quick to forgive, you must demonstrate what forgiveness is. If you want them to read the scriptures on a regular basis, they must see you doing that. If you want them to pray on a regular basis, they must see you praying and know that it's natural for you to do that. Scripture tells us the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It's a great way to protect your family. Maybe you have kids that are grown. Maybe you have kids that are out of the house and they have families of their own. continue to protect them by continuing to pray for them. If you want to make wise decisions, if you want your family to make wise decisions, well, they need to see you making wise decisions and learn the pattern of how to do that. Actively fight for your family by shepherding them. That's going to lay the foundation that would increase their chances of loving Jesus on into adulthood. So now, in order to fight effectively, we're going to look at the fourth action point. This one is play. Actively fighting for your family makes them want to be in a close relationship with you. One primary way to do that is to have fun together. It's hard to have fun these days. But have fun together. You have to be intentional about it. Life and family, it's not just about being serious all the time. It's about enjoying time together. You know the Bible backs this up? King Solomon, he's one of the wisest men who ever lived. He wrote about this in a book called Ecclesiastes. And here's what he said in Ecclesiastes 8. He said, "So I recommend having fun." It's right there. "Because there's nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way they will experience some happiness along with the hard work that God gives them under the sun." Have fun. That's the point he's saying here. Enjoy life. Enjoy it. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "God gives us everything for our enjoyment." A key ingredient to your family's health and happiness is to have fun together. Yet, that's the very thing that's missing from families today. Families today, they're too busy or too tired or too serious or too negative to have fun. An average family mostly works and has little play. And honestly, who wants to stick around for that? Dads, remember. Remember this point. Grandpas, remember this point. And it's going to be a hard one. Life happens on the floor. Notice where kids play. Kids play on the floor. That's a long way down there. I know. And the older you get, the farther down it is. Yes, it is a long way back up. But they're down there. They're playing action figure. They're playing Legos. They're playing Lincoln Logs. They're playing dolls. They're doing these things. Animal parades. Stuffed animal parades. Life happens on the floor for kids, and that's where they want you to join them. Families who are deliberate about having fun, they feel closer, they're more satisfied, and they're more mentally healthy. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says this, men, "Enjoy life with your wife whom you love." The greatest gift you can give your family is to love your wife, guys. It provides your kids with a sense of stability, a sense of peace, a sense of comfort. You are the first and greatest relationship model that they have. Enjoy life. Don't just endure it. Enjoy it. If you're going on a trip, don't make the trip just about getting from point A to point B. Make the journey part of the fun. Do something along the way as you get there. Be creative when you're playing. It doesn't have to be expensive. It could be free. We have in front of my house, we have a seasonal stream, and whenever it rains, this stream fills up and the water starts rushing down, and of course it pushes all the sticks and the leaves down with it, and it'll build these little dams along the way. And all of a sudden the stream starts to back up, and then so we go down there, I go down there with my two boys, and we break the stream up, and all of a sudden all the water, it's a lot of water, just rushes down, and they love that. And then we take bark and we make little boats out of it, and we have boat races down there. And it's free, which is great, but it's memorable. It's fun for them. It's making memories. It's making them want to enjoy and have fun with our family. So men, sons, husbands, dads, grandpas, uncles, actively fight for your families. Fight for them by protecting, by providing, by shepherding, and by playing. Because they are worth fighting for. I'm going to give you a charge, once again, that the Apostle Paul gave. Men, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Actively fight for your families. I'm going to invite the worship team back up to close us out in song. I want to thank you for allowing me to be here tonight. It's always a joy to come back. Let us close out in prayer. Father, we praise you. We thank you for the men in our lives. We thank you for giving us instruction in your word on how to be men that please you and that raise up families and generations that are sold out for you. And Father, we pray for the men in our lives that you would continue to strengthen them Give them wisdom and understanding how to handle different situations in life. Show us how we can support them every day. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Have a great week.